The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week on Inside Hollywood, we're kicking off a summer series called Perfect Movies, where we take a look at those rare cinematic creations that directors and film scholars and actors and audiences alike consider, well, flawless. Not just good or great, but absolutely perfect. And first off, given it is Shark Week this week, it's got to be Jaws. We're joined by Lisa Cannon, head of studio at DMG Media. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. This is the granddaddy of suspense, Steven Spielberg's Jaws. And the reason I've chosen it, because it's the 50th anniversary of the movie. There's an amazing documentary, if people haven't tuned into it yet, all about the movie with, you know, I suppose there's commentary from Spielberg himself. There's Francis Ford Coppola, or the amazing director Scorsese's in there and everything. And to me, Jaws is a perfect movie because it's just something you can't replicate. And it was the original summer blockbuster. It was almost like a moment in time, that perfect storm of a perfect movie where it was a masterclass in accidental genius because but it also was doomed for failure.
It plays on everyone's fears. We'll talk about the making of it in a moment. But the scenario is you have this town, Amity. It's an island. There's a beach. Everyone flocks to the beach in the summer. But someone spots a shark.
Doodum.
And then the music as well.
Yes.
But we want to hear this exchange. The sheriff says, we got to close the beaches, but the town authorities, they want to keep the money rolling in.
I pulled a tooth the size of a shot glass out of the wrecked hull of a boat out there, and it was the tooth of a great white.
It was Ben Gardner's boat. It was all chewed up. I helped tow it in. You should have seen him.
Where is that tooth? Did you see it, Broden?
No, I didn't see it. He dropped it. The
other I had an accident. Way in.
And what did you say the name of this shark is?
It's a carcharodon and carcharias. It's a great white.
But you don't have the tooth. Look, we depend on the summer people here for our very lives.
You are not going to have a summer.
Close those beaches, we're finished.
We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark. I mean, we're going to have to tell the Coast Guard.
Mr. Foreman,
we're
going to
have
to contact the shark
panel. We're
going
to have to put extra deputies on because
you have to
read
this entire harbor.
I don't think
one of you are familiar with our problems.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass. Now, wait a second.
Dave.
There are two ways to deal with this problem. You're either going to kill this animal or you're going to cut off its food supply.
Larry, we have to close the beaches.
We have to close the beaches.
But do they? No, they don't. And released in June 1975, I think Jaws, you know, it didn't just swim, it exploded. And it was the first movie ever to make 100 million at the US box office. And the reason I've chosen that as a perfect movie is because not only was it the wide release, the TV ads, the queues around the block that were, if you look at the old footage from 1975, people just couldn't get in to see the screenings. Spielberg couldn't understand. He thought it was a career ender. I think just, even though nothing went to plan, everything went to plan. And at seven, he was only 27 years of age when he directed this movie. There's fascinating backstories to
Jaws. There are also iconic lines in it. We're going to hear one. This is where Rob Schneider is the sheriff.
He is the sheriff. He's a wonderful actor, very underrated. And of course, you know, everybody knows you're going to need a bigger boat. When we talk about improv and movies, and this was improvised by himself. You'll see, if you remember, his cigarette was hanging out of his mouth when he moved backwards, and Spielberg said, just think of something when you see the shark. And this is what he said.
Slow ahead. I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chum some of this shit.
You're going to need a bigger boat when they catch a glimpse of the shark.
Yeah, and the shark, of course, comes out of the water. That's the famous Bruce the shark, that the star that refused to work mechanically and never, ever.
They had three of these,
worked.
Didn't they? With propellers to move them along, and they were always breaking down.
They were always breaking down, and it constantly malfunctioned. And the reason it was called Bruce is because Spielberg had a really kind of heavy-duty lawyer on the case at the time, because many people thought at 27 years of age, he'd made some other movies, that he was never going to be able to do this.
And it nearly broke.
It. it. He nearly broke him. He had post-traumatic stress disorder afterwards, and he talks about that openly. And he chose to shoot in open water, which is completely not the done thing. It was the first movie ever to do this. And of course, all the mechanical sharks weren't suitable for seawater. They were only suitable for the back lot of, you know, Warner or Universal Studios where they were shot. So it never worked. So what it did was, even though it was a godsend that it didn't work, it made him more Hitchcockian. And of course, John Williams with that two-note theme, do-dum, do-dum, classic, you know, people thought it was a joke at first, but they realised then that was the heartbeat of the film and that was going to be the lightning in a bottle, really.
Yeah, because every time we hear that theme, we know the shark is looming somewhere. But a lot of the time we don't see the shark. I remember in one particular scene, you're expecting to see the shark. There's something drifts into the frame, but I think it's a limb.
Well, because
a severed limb rather than the shark, because the shark wasn't working that day.
Exactly. We had to be inventive. I mean, there were 100 days over schedule, which maybe wouldn't mean a lot to people. But I mean, that's ferocious money that you're caning all the time. Every day you're out in the open water. And of course, like anything, you know, you don't even need to be a film director to understand that when you set up a shot in open water with the current, he may have Roy Scheider and Richard Dreyfuss on one side. But by the time he frames up and gets ready to shoot, they're out of the frame. Because of the current. So the other, it was a disaster.
One of the other main characters, of course, the scientist played by Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes.
And we have a clip of him talking about the experience.
It's like no one ever knew that we were the very first film ever to attempt to be shot on the real ocean. No one had ever done that in the 75 years of filmmaking. Everywhere you'd heard,
the shark is not working. The shark is not working. Repeat.
The shark. And one day you heard,
the shark is working. The shark is working. The boat is sinking.
And I was on that boat.
The shark is working. The boat is sinking. I was on that boat.
He's such a lovely man to interview. I'd interviewed Richard Dreyfuss when he came to Dublin for Jameson Film Festival many moons ago. And I said to him, you know, what was that like working on the titan of the movie that is Jaws? And he said it was the best experience of his life, although being the brainy marine biologist wasn't. Himself and Robert Shaw, who plays Quint, which we have a clip from, we're going to play shortly. You know, the grizzled kind of shark hunter, that improvised chilling monologue about Indianapolis. They hated each other even on set. And they used to grind each other's gears, as they would say, and poor Robert Shaw, you know, would enjoy a few drinks from time to time because they could never get the shot set up. So he would be in his trailer drinking and he'd come back on set and they'd just go for it. They really didn't enjoy each other's company.
We talked to his son recently on the programme who was doing a one-man show.
That's right.
I mean, Robert Shaw did a lot of his drinking in Ireland.
He did indeed, yes. And something to do with taxes, if I'm right, if I remember what the movie had said. But of course, it became legend, their relationship. But Richard Dreyfuss, phenomenal actor, and he said that the fact that the shark wasn't available made Steven Spielberg more creative. You know, even just the water barrels, as you rightly said, the dum-dum theme, where's the shark? He was never there.
I mean, when you think of some of the older movies, you know, the original Titanic or Moby Dick, all shot in tanks.
Yes.
None of them in the open water.
No.
I presume since then there have been movies made in the open water, but this was the very first.
This was the very first.
And all the challenges that came with it. Now tell me about that Indianapolis speech.
Yeah, so this was improvised. So the chilling USS Indianapolis monologue, Robert Shaw asked Spielberg, could he come up with something in the boat that would, you know, reference how a shark is and if a shark was to attack you, where it would be. And of course, this is an actual thing that happened. Many of the men went into the water and never came out. So he famously took a bottle of vodka back to his trailer, drank it, came on set and tried to do the speech and was so drunk he had to be carried off. So the next day, Spielberg gently said to him, can you imagine being 27 years of age and being up against a very strong, a character such as Robert Shaw and saying, listen, would you mind the next time we shoot this that you're not, you know, drunk on set? So he did. He respected the 27-year-old director, came down and did the speech in one take. And this is it. Have a listen.
The idea was, shark comes to the nearest man, then many start pounding and hollering and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Sometimes that shark, he looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark? He's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living. Until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in. rip you to pieces.
Oh. Now, I don't go in the water. I'm actually a bad swimmer. I don't know, but I mean, now, I remember seeing
we
this.
Heard from Ruth Freeman earlier about the shark that the movie gave the great white a bad rap. Mm-hmm. That's not how they behave at all.
No, seemingly not. There's actually less shark attacks than regular accidents. But I mean, the merchandise, even the marketing around Jaws, you know, it revolutionised the time in the 1970s and people were scared out of their wits.
I presume we should warn people... that when you actually see the shark in the movie, nowadays everything would be CGI'd and the shark would be very convincing. The shark in the movie is not that convincing to our modern eye.
Not really, but actually it's when I was looking at all the footage going back, I've seen this movie maybe 16, 17 times. It to me is a perfect movie, but it's also just the fear of the unknown. And I think that's what, you know, Spielberg tapped into. You know?
The mechanical shark, though, as I say, it's not that convincing, but it brings me back to Universal Studios in Disneyland in Florida, where I went to see the Jaws experience.
And
when the yolk jumps out of the water at you, I mean, you do lift an inch or two off your seat, but then you see the shark up close. Not convincing.
Not convincing. I wouldn't like to be in the water with anything that has teeth in it, for sure. So it is one of my favourites, but I think it's because of the scare factor. The scare-o-meter is pretty high on that one.
It's still scary. And for younger listeners who've never seen it, do watch it. You will be hugely entertained.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a milestone of a movie.
We'll have another perfect movie next week on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.